Guru Nation, welcome to episode 811 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trails Guru. This one was unexpected, impromptu, a serendipitous. Jennifer Pages reached out to me. She goes by Jen Pages. Her LinkedIn is underneath. Hey, what do you got to do to get on your podcast? I said, nothing. Just reach out. Let me know what you want to talk about. And I looked at her LinkedIn profile. It's an amazing background. She started out at a site as a front desk person and then bypassed CRA completely. Like from the site, she became a clinical research manager at the site. And then she jumped into, after like 40, she said 40 different applications. She discussed it on the podcast actually, clinical trial manager at ICON. And now for the last 2.5 years, she's been a project manager at ICON. And boy, is she transparent and open about the recent layoffs, about what she looks for as far as sites, potential sites doing studies, what she looks for when she comes across escalation studies. Like she's usually given the tough tasks of, hey, these sites are not compliant, fix it. We get into all that stuff. Check it out. Guru Nation, really quickly, shout out to our sponsors, Innato. Innato actually came up in this podcast too. It's a free place to get studies for your site. Go check it out. Link in the show notes, costs you nothing. You do need therapeutic area expertise, but if you have that, it's good to go. If you don't have that, you reach out to me, or even if you do, reach out to me as well. We have a low monthly fee for our consulting services, me and Chris at DSCS CRO, where we help sites get studies as well, negotiate their budgets, a little more handholding for a really low monthly fee, no contract really needed. Next sponsor is Creo. Creo is the command center for my site, Yuma Clinical Trials. It is eSource, eReg, CTMS, invoicing, eConsent, getting patient records. I mean, you only pay what you use, and that's it. Check it out. Hopefully you enjoy this episode with Jen Pages. Again, her LinkedIn is underneath. Everyone should connect. And she is going to be the first announced panelist at Save Our Sites Conference in 2025. And she's also going to be on Latinos in Clinical Research free webinar in July. We have monthly webinars on Latinos in Clinical Research. Check it out in the show notes below. Bye bye.
Guru Nation, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back. Thank you so much for watching all the way from Miami, Florida. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We got Jen Pages on. Jen's got an amazing story, right? She started out as a front desk, right? Front desk. She's got a bachelor's in psychology from Florida International University. She's currently a project manager with ICON, one of the biggest heroes out there. And she reached out saying, you know what? Love to talk to you. Love to come on your podcast. What's the process for getting guests on? I said, there is no process. The universe brings them, and then we share it with the world. That's all we do. There's nothing else that we're trying to get out of this. But everybody, go connect with Jen right now. Her LinkedIn is underneath this video. Jen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And likewise, I really appreciate the enthusiasm you came with when you emailed me. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your story?
Sure. So I got into clinical research when I was 20 years old because my mom was in clinical research all her life. And I used to like just volunteer whenever like I had days off in high school. And then she ended up, I guess, opening up her own site. And I came in like the front desk. I really didn't know much. I just knew regulatory, to be honest with you. And yeah. I was just helping. And then it ended up, we were open for about 12 years, I would say. And I helped basically in everything. I got certified by SOCRA, with SOCRA and everything. And then I just decided to take a leap. COVID was really hard on our site. So I decided to take the leap into ICON, and I interviewed literally like for a whole year straight, like 40, 45 interviews. And I just kept getting, no, 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 you don't have enough experience. You don't have enough experience. And I was just like, no, I could do this. I know I can.
But you, like at the site, what were you though? You had to have some experience, because at the site you were doing things. You must have been doing things at the site level.
Yeah. So I ended up, I mean, I'm one of those type of people that just kind of likes to get into everything. So even if it wasn't something I had to do, I was still like, okay, but what are you doing? I want to know what you're doing. And that's kind of how I learned everything like I did. And then, so when I was doing the interviews, I would go to like the last interview and they would tell me no. And so much, like, wow. Such a big part of me wanted to just like give up. I was like, whatever, maybe I'm not good enough yet. And I kept telling myself, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then that's when I had that final interview when I was with Icon, and it was like a Real World Solutions. And they made me do like a presentation in front of all these directors. And then they ended up giving me an offer a week later.
Yeah, Clinical Trial Manager, Real World Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you actually doing? And was that like remote? Your job was remote. Your current job still is remote. But what was that specific job CTM about? Was it actually like in charge of certain studies, or was it more of other initiatives?
It was, I was in charge of two studies, but just the clinical operations part. So like I basically was overseeing the study team, like the CRAs, the SMAs, things like that. So I would oversee them and make sure that the data was in line with what the sponsor wanted. And like, you know, all those deviations and trends in the sites and all of that. So basically, the project manager, the difference is just they do budgets and they do financing. That's basically the big difference.
And that's what you're doing now.
That's what I'm doing now. So the CTM role is just more involved with just the clinical operations portion. And like the metrics and the queries and all of that.
And what are you seeing now in your role as project manager, at Icon? How do you like the project management role compared to CTM?
So I honestly started getting a passion for clinical research when I had my son, which is why I even started applying for Icon and stuff like that. I started really like understanding like the opportunity that I was put into, because, you know, sometimes when you're like automatically kind of like in it already, like you don't realize how great it is, I guess. And I never, like, I came from a poor family. Like, I never thought I would be where I'm at. So knowing like all that, it kind of helps, because in my position now, I'm like, I have to be like a leader. And like, I'm not the kind of leader that's like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. I'm kind of just like, okay, we need this. How can we get there? Like, let's help each other out. Let's figure it out. And like, it's a lot of delegating, a lot. Like you could do stuff, obviously, but it's more like you have so many other things to do that you have to make sure like you're delegating the team and motivating them to want to work and to want to like accomplish those goals that the sponsors set.
Who do you oversee right now? Like, what kind of, in your current role as project management, what do you do?
I oversee, so like I have two studies, well, three studies, and I oversee the whole clinical team. So
wow.
The only person on top is the project director.
Jen, give us a study here in Yuma, right? We need a study in the desert, all the way from Miami. We can do cardio, pulmonary, sleep, internal, psych, and derm. I know, okay. You get something.
I can figure something out for you.
All right, thank you.
But what I do want to say, so like, since I started from a site, it really, really helped me understand what they're looking for. And yep. I could really like understand like why sites get studies and why some don't. And like, you know, it all kind of like made
why?
Sense.
Give us the reason. Lana can't hear you. She's here working. But she can't hear you because you're in my headphones. But she's in charge. I put her in charge of like some biz dev stuff. She was on an auto today. You did that? Heart failure. We're trying to do a heart failure thing with Anato.
Anato's awesome.
Yeah, I like Anato. Shout out to Anato. They're a sponsor of the podcast. We like them.
They are awesome.
No, we don't get special treatment just because they rejected us on a study today. But we don't stop. We come back. We come right back.
Then not every study is going to want what your site has to offer.
Right.
But the more you have to offer, the easier it is to get started.
So you're telling me, Jen, right now from all the sites watching, if people message you on LinkedIn, you know they're going to be hitting you up. Jen, give us a study. What are you going to tell them?
Honestly, it's your whole efficiency of your clinic. Like, are you efficient? Are you answering your emails quickly? Are you being kind?
Uh-huh.
Are you being
I should take my headphones off so Lana can hear this.
Yeah.
Are you answering emails efficiently? Are you, what else do you say?
are you being memorable? Are you kind? Like,
are you kind? Well, yeah, she's kind for sure. That part, email efficiently. I think so.
And then queries, like, make sure, like, you're leaving a good impression. You're answering queries.
Are you leaving a good impression on your queries? Yeah. She leaned back and like, eh. She's cracking up. No, she's pretty good. Our staff's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good, though. And the, obviously, you know, the more experience, the more that you're given, but research is such about who you know and stuff like that. So
it is, yeah. Biz dev, we get to see you at Save Our Sites too next year. You didn't go this year, right?
I was gonna go, but it was too late when I found out about it. I think it was
next
like a
year,
week away.
Yeah, next year is gonna be Oklahoma City. There's our logo right there. We're making a little employee lounge over there where people can zen out, drink coffee. I don't know if you can do those two things at the same time, but yeah. It'll be cool.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So you know you're going to get a bunch of people reaching out now. Jen, we need study. But that's the name of the game. And you come from a site background, so you understand. And you said your mom owned a site?
She did, yeah.
Nice. In Florida?
Kind of.
Okay.
She kind of is working remotely, but she kind of retired at the same time.
What kind of indications were you guys doing? Or was she... Well, you too.
Internal medicine.
Okay.
Internal medicine, vaccines, kind of like the same ones you guys do.
And you guys are in the most competitive by far.
It is so
the
hard.
Most competitive market in the world, in the known universe.
Literally, I want to say not even a mile from where the clinic was, there was three other sites within a mile.
we're not that far from the next site either, the hospital, but they do oncology and rare disease, which we don't do too much of either.
Yeah.
But never say never. But other than that, we are like 200 miles away from the nearest site. We're like in the middle of the desert.
That is amazing. I'm not going to lie. That sounds like a dream for people who have sites.
It's a dream. And we're right by the Mexican border, and we're right by the California border in Arizona. Like, we're 2 hours from San Diego, 2 hours from Phoenix. I'm really trying to do a good job to sell people right now. I need to, but it's a good location.
It's working.
And then Lana's like the mayor of Yuma, or like the de facto mayor.
You're going to see like 20 more sites opening now.
20 more sites coming to Yuma because of this podcast. Don't come. We already got all the doctors. They're all on the board. If they're not on there, that means they're not good. Don't waste your time. How can someone do what you do? Like, you right now, CROs, again, Jen is not speaking for her employer. She's speaking for herself. But right now, CROs and sponsors are kind of like not hiring like they were before. What's the mood like where you are? Is it just business as usual?
Oh, there's definitely a lot of layoffs in my company.
It was recently Icon too, actually, right? They were the one most recently in the news.
I want to say like 2 days ago. 3 days ago, probably.
Yeah, it was like Thursday or Friday, I think.
Yeah. It was definitely, I think it was Thursday, actually.
Were you ever worried? Like, hey, it might be me? Or do you feel like...
To be honest with you, I want to say like a year ago, it was the same department that I was in. And it was actually people I was working with that got laid off. And they actually were honest with me and told me that they tried to do it for the position I was in, but they couldn't find good help.
Wow.
Replacements, but yeah.
So you would have been one of the ones.
Yeah.
Also eliminated.
Yeah, it was really scary, but I feel like it's just the name of the game. Like COVID, when COVID hit, like everything booms so high. And it's kind of like the stock market, like it has to go back. It has to correct itself. It has to. Like it's just normal, like I guess, I don't know, economics. So I was just waiting for it to happen. And I just keep praying that it doesn't happen to my position.
But they did like a pretty like big round of layoffs. So hopefully that's the end of it, right? The beginning and end.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I wish I had more information on it, but I have no idea. I just know.
As someone in your role, though, how do you keep your head straight? Like, okay, we just got a bunch of people laid off, like a lot of them, my colleagues. They literally told me it would have been me, but they couldn't. Like, what's going through your head during this? Like, just keep doing as good a job as you can and network? Or like, what is going through your head during this time?
What's going through my head is just keep going. I've never been the type of person that has let like fear like take over. So I'm kind of just like, okay, well, I'll just keep working harder and keep going and just see where it leads me. At the end of the day, if I get laid off, I'm gonna get laid off whether I'm a hard worker or not. Because that's just the name of the game. But it's funny because I had a colleague of mine who actually was part of the layoff, and I actually was able to save her job because I was like, look, she's really good. What can we do? Is there like another department we can put her in? Like, what can we do? And
it's because you're in like a leadership role over there. So you have some sway. You have some impact. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a little bit. And it's only because like I am a hard worker. So like I always get like escalation studies and I have to get them out of escalation. Like I have to clean it all up. And so like when I'm in a study and when I was in that study and it happened and we were in escalation, I was like, look, you guys just put me on the study and now you guys are going to take off the best person on the team because of a layoff. And I was like, you guys have to figure out a way to save her because I can't do it without her.
For those that don't know, can you explain like what's escalation study and like what that actually means?
So when the study team, so meaning like the project manager, clinical trial manager, the CRAs, all of that are not that they're not doing a good job, but like the metrics are off. So like there's a lot of queries like that are over 60, 90 days. There's a lot of protocol deviations. There's a lot like just the study is just not going well. Right. So a lot of action items that are open, it's not audit ready. So like the TMF doesn't have all the ISF documents that are needed. You know, like people weren't collecting the documents that were needed. And then the sponsor's not happy, obviously, because I mean, if you need data to be entered and there's sites that haven't entered data for 3 months, like, you know, you're going to be like
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to those sites? Just a warning.
No, so obviously we need them to finish the study. So we, you have them finish the study, but
that's not one. I can guarantee you that. There's some sites that don't enter data for 3 months.
Yeah,
don't get any ideas though. It's bad.
No, it's bad.
Why? She said
literally says the sponsor literally says make sure we don't have this site.
Oh, we'll never use that site again. Yeah, no, Alana's not like that. So that's basically escalation. You're given like, thank you, Lana. I'll see you tomorrow. So you're given like the sites or the studies where they're having a lot of. So escalation basically is like a catch-all term for the studies in trouble for a variety of reasons. Usually it's related to data.
Data quality.
Behind on data.
Okay. Yeah. Protocol deviation. So patient safety, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Do you physically like, if you have to, do you go travel to the site or?
I've offered. I haven't had to yet, but okay. I have offered. Yeah.
What do you do? Let's say I'm a site. Let's say you just took over, right? Your leadership came to you. Who would be above you? Like, what's their position called?
The project director.
Project director. Okay. So let's say your project director comes to you and say, hey, we have this new study. You know, one of the worst sites is Yuma Clinical Trials. And now let's pretend you got me on the phone. I'm the site director. Like, what are you going to be telling me?
Honestly, I would just say, so we've noticed that you haven't entered data in 3 months. And we wanted to know if there's anything we can do to help support you enter the data, because as you know, part of our contract states that you have to enter data within 5 days, business days. So I don't know if there's anything we can do. Do you need a research assistant to help you enter data? What is it that we can do?
Okay. And what if I say, well, Jen, you know, we're a business and it's tough and we have a lot of studies right now and you guys haven't paid us in like 6 months. I mean, do you often get that as a reply?
So, no, honestly, we have had studies say that we haven't paid them, but they can't not enter data because of that. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, you know.
So what would you tell them? Like, if
I would tell them, I completely understand where you're coming from. I'm going to contact the grant specialist right now so that I can make sure that we expedite your payment and see what's going on. I'll make sure to keep you updated. But while I do this, is there any way that you can enter the data?
Yeah, you know, that research assistant would be good, Jen. How does that actually work?
So basically, we would provide the research assistant. You would add them to your delegation log. We would already have them trained to the protocol. And they would just go on site and enter the data for you and to help you. And there's no charge of you, to you or anything.
Okay. And Jen, I want to work with ICON in the future. I'm sorry we got to this point. Is there anything I can do to rectify this that would make you want to come back to us later?
Yeah, just make sure you enter data on time from now on.
So that's simple.
Yeah, it is.
Does it usually get resolved like with just one call, or is there usually more
for
of
me,
like a systemic?
I haven't needed to do more than two calls. I haven't needed to. But I think
so
it's
what's like the issue then? Like are these sites just like ignoring your study or what's
people
going
just
on?
Don't. Okay, so it's like any leadership position. How you lead us, like how you lead is going to determine how serious everyone takes you, right? I'm not leading in a way that it's like you have to do this because like that's what you're contracted to do. Like obviously I could say that, but I'm not going to be that type of leader. I'm going to be the type of leader that's going to be like, this is our problem. How do we solve it, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the people that are like, oh, well, I need you to enter this. And then the site's like, okay, well, I have this problem, so I'm going to have to enter next week. And then they're just kind of like, okay. And then the next week it's like another problem. And they're like, oh, it's okay. Can you do it next week? And then it just gets out of hand, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's learning a balance, learning to be compassionate at what someone is going through, but at the same time, understanding that they have to be compassionate to us as well. So like, you know, we have deadlines too. We have metrics too. We look bad if something goes out of window for too long.
So does that mean that the CRAs were not communicating effectively, or
yes.
That's usually what it boils down to?
Yes. 100%. Usually it's that. Sometimes there's sites that are just, you know, and then when you get a project manager or CTM involved, they're like, oh, I'll do it right now. And they kind of just like enter it. And then you have sites that are just like mad at the series or mad at the study team. So then that's why they were entering. And then so I kind of become a therapist too, because I'm kind of like, okay, tell me what's going on. Like, you know, and they're like, well, you've had 5 CRAs in the last year and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I know that must have been really hard. Like, you know, because I understand I've had 5 CRAs in 1 year and it's the worst. So like being able to use that site experience has helped me be able to handle sites are angry.
So they respect you more because of your site
exactly.
background.
Yes, exactly.
And you rely on that.
I do.
To help. And it generally works because they see that you're on mm-hmm. the same page.
And I'm on their side. And I feel like anybody that makes feel like you're on their side is going to help you. Because I mean, at the end of the day, we are on the same side. We want this research study to be successful. We don't want it to fail.
Right.
There's a lot of
and of course you'll always have those sites that are difficult. I mean, we've met those sites before. Like, not every site's angel. Like they're sites that are just difficult on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Or just key opinion leaders that are like, yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it. They don't care because they know the sponsor's going to keep working with them, which that's, you know, that happens a lot too, and it must be challenging for the CROs.
Yeah, but the sponsors will stop working with sites if they make it difficult. That's
even the key opinion leader.
Yeah, they will.
I see. Do you notice your issues more with like academic medical centers or private sites?
Academic, for sure.
So when you're calling the AMCs, like it's harder to have this conversation, right? Because they don't really care about your background as a, like at a small site. They're like, okay, Jen, that's nice, but
No, they've never been they've never been like that. They've been really nice, to be honest with you. But most of those are the sites that are more like, well, I'm really busy, as you can imagine. And it's like, yeah, I could, but we still need you to do it.
And so they end up doing it. They just need someone to call them and talk to them.
Most of the time,
So
compassionate.
weird. It seems like it's such a simple solution. Like, there's got to be something more than
I
just that.
honestly, I wouldn't be able to tell you because that's honestly how it works for me.
We need to have you on a panel at the next SOS talking about this, like CRO spot, like CRO communi site communications. Because
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna write it down that to have you on the panel when we start thinking of panels that we're gonna do, which we should start planning the conference soon, actually. Would you be down to come?
Yeah, of course. I'll
Okay.
help you plan it too if you
Jan Page,
want.
well, luckily we have people now that have been doing it, but just come to the panel, like be on the panel.
I'll do it for sure.
Panel on site com CRO spot CRO site communications, and then sponsor. Okay, interesting. All right. And what advice do you have for? Are you in like a role like where you're also in charge of CRAs too, like
Yeah,
currently?
I am.
What advice do you have for? Do you are you involved in like the hiring, like the interview
I'm
process?
not involved in the hiring, but I oversee everything. Like, I have to approve even
See,
invoices.
Jaime, Jen Page is from Icon in
Hi.
Miami.
Oh, hey, hi.
We're live doing a pod. Jaime is our nurse practitioner. She gets helps sites get studies too.
All
And
right.
then when sites are behind on data or whatever, she's the one that calls and says, "How can we
The quality kind of
fix
thing.
this?" Yeah.
Cool. That's
And so
awesome.
she's gonna come to SOS and be on the panel.
Yeah,
The
can't
first
stand.
panelist announced, by the way, for 2025
Get this
is
one?
Jen Page's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma City.
Sounds good.
Never been. Shout out to Brad Hightower, but thank you, hi man.
All
See
right,
you
good
later,
luck.
man.
See you, bro.
See ya.
Thanks again, man.
Okay.
Good luck.
Nurse practitioner, best one in the world, guys. Best one in Yuma for sure. So you're not in charge of the hiring, the CRAs, or the interview aspect.
No, I am in charge of, like, let's say the sponsor needs to interview them before they approve them on the study. I would handle that. Or like when they, when they have to like book a hotel or flight and all that, I have to approve their costs, things like
Oh,
that.
okay. Like the
I oversee the invoicing. I oversee basically their metrics, things like that.
Oh, their metrics. So what's the biggest advice you can give CRAs on improving their metrics? Maybe start by telling us what's an important metric or what are a few important metrics and what are some common ones that CRAs don't hit repeatedly.
The most important one I would say is a timely trip report submission. Making sure that they're submitting it within 7 days of their IMV.
I just had a site selection visit. I won't name who it is. It wasn't you guys. At least I don't think it was you guys. I know who the sponsor is, but I'm not gonna say that either. We had our first of all right. It was a remote SSV. So I rushed with Jaime, who you just saw, to our PI's office, our pulmonologist, because we needed to get him on the Zoom. And so the only way to guarantee it was to physically bring my laptop and make sure he's on there. That's the only way to get him on. So he was there. We're all there, huddled around this laptop, waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And I'm texting, and I'm emailing. And finally, the CRA emails me back. Oh, I'm so sorry. I had computer issues. I actually think they forgot. And so she's like, but thank you so much for sending us all the stuff earlier. We're going to make this really quick. So she got on 40 minutes late. 40. We told the PI, go see patients, come back. Like they're probably going to be late. She got on. We did it. It was like a 10-minute go through slides. Thank you for sending us all the stuff because our coordinators were really good. Lana and Luis sent like everything they asked for.
Yeah.
I said, okay, if you don't have questions, we'll just keep going through these slides. Of course, we didn't. Yeah. SSB ended. That was a month ago, right? Yesterday, not yesterday, because that was Sunday. Friday, I emailed. I said, what's going on? We haven't heard anything about our SSB. Yeah. And I'm already thinking this person didn't even, like, do it for real.
Yeah.
Well, she's like, no, sorry. And then she CC'd her boss. We're going to get back to you. Her boss emailed me this morning. Sorry, usually doesn't take this long. But we'll give you an update in a few days. I think they all just forgot. And I think it boiled down to this trip report. Because this lady was clearly overworked. The lady was clearly overworked.
Yeah.
They didn't even remember the SSV. Was so rushed that she didn't even care. Like, yeah, we can do everything. And then forgot to let us know, like, no follow-up letter or anything.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
I don't think it's Icon. And it's not common because I don't think I've had a situation like that ever in 17 years that I've been debating this. But I don't know. What does that tell you? You're in charge of these people. Like, what does that tell you?
Two things. Either they're overworked or they're not organized.
Yeah. Or both.
Or both, yeah.
Either one of those or both.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I know some people that are overworked. And let me just tell you, they are like a machine. And then there's other people that are overworked and they're just all over. There's actually some people who don't really have a lot of work and they're just like terrible.
So if something happens, give me advice here. If something happens where they come back and say, sorry, we didn't select you, should I go back to whoever's in charge, like find you for their study and say, hey, look, this is what happened. I don't think this is correct, like, right? Should I do something like that? Or what would happen? What would you do if that happened to you and you were the one on the other side?
I would definitely say something. I would speak to the project manager or the CTM on the study and just voice my concern and just say, look, this is my concern. I don't think it was because we weren't qualified or weren't a good site. I just feel like the CRA was a little either overworked or a little disorganized because this is what happened. But please let me know if there's anything else, any other studies that we can qualify for. But I would definitely let them know because a lot of times the study team doesn't even know what's going on.
Clearly, because they, like, no one would have told me anything if it wasn't for my email Friday, I feel like.
Yeah, no, and follow-up is so important.
Yeah.
Important, yeah. Following
up, and I think it was the CTM that replied back, and she said something along the lines of, "Oh, I'm sorry. It usually doesn't take us this long." Something about, you know, I'm sorry, and that we'll get back to you in a few days.
Yeah.
It was just really weird.
Yeah, it's usually the CTM is the one that has to, like, kind of show their face first, and then it's like a project manager.
Okay. So I'll keep a close eye on that one because that's a study that the PI really wants. And I mean, he made it a point to be there for the Zoom, and I even told him this is not usually how it goes because he's a newer PI. This is not usually how it goes. Like, they're usually like on it. I don't know what's going on here.
If it's a respiratory study, I could be Icon. That's all I gotta say.
I'm curious now who it is. I can't find the email. Speaking of being organized, but let me see.
Maybe because I know that they have a.
Maybe I'll blink once if it's Icon, and maybe twice if it's not. trying to find it, but you're. Your thoughts on this is, this is not common.
No, it's not. It's not common. Just remember what a lot of sponsors, a lot of CROs are having a lot of layoffs. So there's a lot of
transition. That's another thing I was worried about. Yeah.
There's a lot of transition of employees. So, you know, things get lost in the mix. So I would definitely always follow up. especially in
this. You know what? I found it. I found who it is. Yeah. It starts with an I and ends with an N. Yeah, you're right. And then the person who replied,
that's why.
You probably do. The sponsor that replied, the person who replied back to me was the sponsor.
The sponsor? Uh-oh.
Yeah, like from, it had the sponsor on the signature.
Yeah, uh-oh. Someone's going to get in trouble.
Serious? I have a feeling that I just didn't want to lose the study. Like, I'm not trying to get people in trouble.
No. Because, like I said, there's a lot of CRAs that were laid off recently. Yeah. And that
was... I think what happened is they gave this one, like, all the overflow work because of that. Yeah, makes sense.
So what happened...
She was really nice.
They try to get just anyone to cover, right? Even if they're not on the study. So it's like you put out, like, a request and someone who has availability can cover it, right? But doesn't mean that they are on the study. So then that's what causes delays. So, like, let's say that person covered and then they got laid off and they were probably like, oh, I'm not going to do the trip report.
I see. Ah, okay. Yeah. But so I think now that I'm looked back at it, that it's the sponsor. I didn't even notice that this morning when I saw the email. But now when I looked, it was the sponsor replying back. I just assumed it was like CTM or project manager.
Yeah, usually if a sponsor responds to you, that's usually followed up with the sponsor forwarding the email to us saying, hey, why?
You might see it then. You might see this.
No, I'm not on that study. I just know what study it is because I know
this
study is having recruitment things.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah. I'll tell you about it after the podcast. We definitely need you at SOS for the panel. So we gave advice for sites. So how do those CRAs improve their metrics then? I mean, let's say the metric of trip report.
Fill it out. Just be filling it out, you know, so that when you're done, you really have very few things to enter in. And then what I have always seen help is like they have kind of like templates of what to fill out, and then all they have to do is edit things, like, you know, like, oh, this, I did this, but then you just edit like the date of the consent or whatever it is, and it just helps it flow faster. So basically while you're on site, you can enter all of it, and then all you have to do is click submit, and if there's any revisions, the CTM will always send it back and tell you what they need revised, and that's it.
Yep, I agree. I had a 3-year stint as a contract CRA. Just, I had like 4 sites on the West Coast, like on the, and actually in LA and San Francisco. And I did the same thing. I wouldn't leave the site till I had the trip report like almost done. And then I would finish it either at the airport before my flight took off or on rare cases like the next day. But I would always make sure it's like at least 90% done before I go to sleep that night. And then just finish it out, like, really, like, if I need some details, put it in the next day. But that's the advice I have. But I can see how CRAs can get behind each.
Yeah, I could see it, too. Especially if they're covering for other CRAs in the study. Yeah. Sometimes, like, the study's behind. They need you to do, like, visits and stuff like that. So I can understand. It's just...
CRA is a tough job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could not do it. That's why I was like, I'm not even going to try to go for CRA. I'm going straight to CTM.
Do you think you would do it now or no?
No.
No.
And not for nothing. I have 2 little kids and I can't travel like that.
Yeah, that's right. The traveling is the part that's all, like, forget about just the workload. It's the travel as well. And there's no wonder why there's always a shortage. From these layoffs, were they... Not necessarily just Icon, but the industry-wide, like, were they CRAs being laid off or just?
Yes, and there was in-house CRAs being laid off. And
wow.
Clinical trial assistants being laid off.
But what, I feel like they're just going to need to hire more people, like, in 3 months. They're going to go on another hiring frenzy in 3 months, so. Yeah, I guess this is above our pay grade.
Doing it.
I see. There's a lot of complexity on this.
A lot of things I probably don't have the authority to say, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is above both of our pay grades for sure. Mm-hmm. So we could just speculate. And oftentimes it looks like even the people on like higher up at the CROs are in the same, they're in the dark too.
Yeah, so a lot of times like even the directors don't know it's going to happen until like the day before.
Or, I wonder like, if we can get
anything.
I wonder if we can get you on Latinos in Clinical Research podcast or monthly meetup one of these days too, because I noticed on your LinkedIn profile you have that. You have, yeah. Celebrate Latino Voices.
Yes, I'm Cuban, obviously, in Miami. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do that. I'll send a group message to get you on that. So SOS and then Latinos in Clinical Research. Everybody go connect with Jen right now underneath the videos, her LinkedIn. And if you're listening, it's in the show notes in the podcast. Anything else you want to say, Jen? We can do more. We'll do part two, part three. Maybe at SOS we'll do an in-person podcast, like a 20-minute sit-down. Anything else you'd like to say to Guru Nation or just anything we didn't touch on?
I do want to say, like, for everybody, it's going to get better, the job market. And not to give up, clinical research is a really good field. And it's hard right now, just like every field goes through. It's, like, tough times, but not to give up because it's going to come back and get back up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Jen. Maybe we'll do that topic, maintaining sanity during layoffs.
Yeah.
I'll write that one down. For the Latinos in Clinical Research monthly meetup.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jen. Everybody go connect with her. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Go connect with her right now. Don't ask her for studies. Only I can do that. All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.